D&D Dungeons Academy, No Humans Allowed. Written by Madeline Rue. Illustrated by Tim Probert. Chapter 13. Read by Lockman. Hugo's sharpened beak came down with a snap on her shoulder joint, and she heard the crunch of a bone and felt a hot splatter of blood against her chin as the owlbear took his first bite. She expected an agonizing instant later to see her arm torn free from her body, dangling from Hugo's beak, but instead he went oddly still. His grip on her relaxed, and she heard a strangled cough from his throat before the pressure on her shoulder vanished. Hugo let go, and she slid free and alive to the floor. The owlbear, still with strange and possessed eyes, spat, pawing, listlessly at his own tongue. Even under the necromancer's control, Hugo's distaste for flesh could not be undone. The distraction gave Snabla the chance to whack his shield down hard on Hugo's foot, while Zelly searched for the scattered skeletal bones littering the cave floor until she found a shard sharp enough to serve as a knife. Hugo noticed her and raised his arm to swing, but not before she dove under his armpit and slashed the purple, tainted fur and feathers near his elbow. The ooze congealed on the floor, waiting for another unsuspecting victim to snare. At once, his eyes went dim, then bright again, and he raised his hands to find the blood staining his claws, wailing.
What have I done?
Nothing that a bone setter can't fix,
Zelly replied, laughing with short-lived relief. Her left shoulder was badly wounded, and she could hardly lift that arm. With her right hand, she took the help of Hugo offered and stood at his side once more.
Are you... Did I...
You didn't do anything. The necromancer controlled you with that magical goop. We can worry about that later. Just be grateful you only like vegetables.
Zelly told him, hurrying back toward the frozen Alidora and Bobble, who had now drawn to the attention of too many skeletons. One sweep up, Bobble holding the shovel high, preparing to snap them in half, the mimic transformed just in time into a heavy iron-bound treasure chest, crushing the skeleton under their weight. Injured, Zelly let Hugo hoist her onto his shoulders while he and Snabla led the way as they returned to Bobble, the last few skeletons swarming. She felt strange and jittery without her training sword, but she had lost it in the fight. Not that she could wield it anyway with her severely injured arm. Hugo, now enraged in his own right, bashed them with his heavy fist just as any owlbear might do, but their owlbear this time. Minion after minion flew across the cave, crumbling as their frail bodies hit the stone. Flash couldn't help herself, popping up just in time to catch a broken leg bone before it could reach the floor. While Hugo charged, Flash happily munched her bone, tail wagging. Zelly pretended it was her way of cheering them on. That thought lasted only an instant as Flash promptly disappeared again with her bone. At last, Lord Carrion noticed his control over Hugo had waned, and he began muttering his spell faster and faster, sliding down the staff, propping him up, the portal just the suggestion of a purple oval, weak and translucent. As his magic failed, and so did his stamina, the barrier holding the Alidoria dissipated, letting her tumble forward and a few steps before glancing around in confusion, chest heaving.
"After him!"
Zelly cried, and even grievously injured, even in terrible pain, she found the power to let loose a resounding roar. The others were with her now, Snabla with his shield proudly raised, Bobble's treasure chest flying forward like a battering ram, Hugo wielding his claws like knives, Alidora Stillstrike readying her broadsword with her azure cape flying about her shoulders. The necromancer sneered, alone with no more bones to raise and protect him. He did not yield, but looked instead to the line of villagers and monsters obediently waiting.
Do not let him use that army against us. They are innocents,
Alidora called. A head appearing out of thin air flash landed right on top of Lord Carrion's pointy head, the bone snack trailing from her snout, knocking his hood back. The necromancer, filled, stumbling, looking in that moment, not like a wizard of great power, but like an enfeebled craven stumbling into defeat. The heroes were upon him, and Alidora didn't need to use her sword, and Hugo didn't need to flash his claws. Snabla slammed right into his legs, sending the necromancer end over end into a dusty, musty corner. They gathered around him, triumphant and exhausted, catching their breath while the necromancer cowered at their feet.
Children, you can delay me, but you cannot delay the inevitable. More will come. More will come in service of my lord. Their souls will be ours. The engine will be powered.
He wheezed his staff, knocked aside. He reached for it with trembling hands, but it was too late. Bobble drew near to him, and the necromancer spat.
What will you become, you useless creature? Nothing that can bring you power over one such as...
But Bobble had heard enough. They all had. The mimic changed rapidly into an iron pan, and Zelly had the strength left in her right arm to grab them just in time, wind up and swing with all her might and will, knocking the necromancer out of his wits before he could finish his vile spew. With no sword to swing, the pan just had to do.
Not so useless after all,
Bobble laughed, transforming from the heavy pan back to an even heavier book. Alidora Stillstrike strode to the necromancer and finished a bit of rope from her belt, tying his hands and taking his staff, cracking it in two over her knee and scattering the pieces. A shock wave rippled out from the broken weapon, a shimmering cascading tide that swept across the cave, nearly knocking the villagers and monsters to the ground. At once, the spell cast over the villagers began to fade, dozens and dozens of blinking, shocked eyes peering at them as the enscrolled folk found themselves not at home in bed or sitting at the hearth, but deep in a cold and forgotten cave.
Be calm,
Alidora said at once, taking control of the situation. She sheathed her sword on her back and raised her arms, calming the sudden outcry from the lost, confounded victims.
All is not well, but all will be well. Some of them are monsters,
Zelly whispered at her side.
I don't want them harmed.
And here she pointed to a bugbear, visible among the snaking line of villages. The woman beside the monster let out a shriek, backing away and into the arms of a human man, perhaps her husband, who held her and shielded her from the student. Alidora raised a dark brow, but then gave a single, precise nod.
I see.
Then she addressed the murmuring crowd again.
Your questions will be answered in time, but not here. This cave is not safe for us to linger. Return to the way you came, and with as much haste as you can muster.
She must have noticed the spider eggs and chittering, too.
There are some among you that may seem like enemies.
Her gaze swiftly roamed the line of anxious, fidgeting villagers.
Bugbear and Goblin and here, Owlbear and Kobold, but do them no harm. They, too, were fooled by the necromancer's spell. They even fought beside me, if for you just a time. Behold, Lord Carrion, our shared enemy. His fell magic is to blame for this mayhem, and he will be dealt with accordingly. Now return peacefully to the clearing above, and there I will escort you back to Horn Tree Village.
That's Alidora Stillstrike, she heard one of the men in the crowd whisper. We best do as she says. She's a hero, is she not? Another whispered. So on and on the message traveled up the line. The halfling girl at the front was steered around by the woman behind her, and gradually the befuddled masses shuffled back up the long, narrow stone bridge that had brought them so close to doom. Zelly couldn't help but wonder how many had actually gone through the portal before they could stop Lord Carrion, and where they might have gone. She shuddered, terrified for them. She also couldn't help but be grateful for Alidora's presence. She couldn't imagine how the folks might have responded to just her and her classmates after Lord Carrion was defeated.
You're wounded, the adventurer said, turning to Zelly. Here, walk with me. The walk back to the cave mouth will allow us time to talk.
Alidora deftly bandaged Zelly's shoulder with a piece of cloth torn from her bright blue cape, while Hugo hoisted the bound and unconscious necromancer over his shoulder. Her friends started the trek up to the cave mouth first, only Snabla shooting a curious gaze back, his eyes going wide as he finally realized the resemblance.
Oh,
he muttered.
Oh.
Ah!
Hugo nudged him with a foot, and they gave the two humans a measure of privacy. The tangle of questions and feelings and fears knotting up in Zelly's stomach almost made her forget the throb in her shoulder. She clutched her wound, hissing through her teeth.
I must confess, I did not expect to be helped by such an unlikely party, Alidora said, smirking.
It was Zelly's smirk, and it stole her breath away to see it so plainly.
Those monsters, he magicked. You know them. Of them,
Zelly replied. Her tongue felt impossibly thick and clumsy in her mouth.
They're some of the older, popular kids. So they don't really give us the time of day, but when we came to save them, we didn't expect to find, well, all of this trouble.
They were quiet for a moment. Then Alidora made a soft, thoughtful sound in her throat. Zelly knew what was coming, that they both knew, that the obvious features they shared were too much for anyone with even rudimentary observation skills not to note. Even Snabla had put it all together. It was easier to just talk of what had happened, and Zelly almost hoped they could do that forever, and never touch the raw, painful wound waiting there between them. But then, of course, Alidora spoke again, and the tangle in Zelly's stomach grew tighter and crueler and even more impossible.
And when you struck out to find them, when you came to this place, did you expect them to find your mother, Zelidora?
That concludes Chapter 13 of D&D Dungeons Academy, No Humans Allowed. Written by Madeline Rue, illustrated by Tim Proppett. Harper Publishing. Read by Lachman.